This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Mark Lorenzoni joins me live in studio, the Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Big event coming up here. It's safe now Mark, to say this is a big historic event. It's just not a sporting event.
It certainly is.
It's become a huge historic event in Central Virginia. Coming up on Saturday, the Charlottesville 10-miler, which celebrates 34 years, this coming Saturday. Absolutely amazing.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
It's almost like a history of modern day Charlottesville, in a sense, from 76 to now. This race has grown up around this growing community. So
yeah,
a lot of neat stories, a lot of cool things. I had the pleasure and the honor of directing and co-directing it from 84 to 95, and now I serve kind of as a person in the background, helping out as much as I possibly can.
You're director emeritus.
Yeah.
And Mark is here with us. We want to talk about the history and some of your stories from your memories of all the years. Really, you and Cynthia and your team, you put this thing on the map. I mean, you made this a huge event, And we're thankful for all your efforts over the years that we have this huge part of, it's one of the things that makes Charlottesville such a great place to live is the Charlottesville 10-miler, and there's people that really look forward to it. So before we get the whole backstory, give us the details on what's going to happen Saturday.
Well, it's the Charlottesville Track Club's oldest event, and of course Charlottesville Track Club is, you know, widely considered to be kind of the nonprofit arm, the governing body of running in our community. Alice and Dan Wiggins are the directors. This is their fourth year at the helm, and they do a fantastic job. And I am, you know, this is kind of like a little baby of mine, and I'm so glad to see that they've nurtured it through its teen and adult years. And after I, called it a day back in '95, it starts at 7:45. Of course, it's covered live here on WINA, which is fantastic. A very challenging thing to do to cover a sporting event that's moving.
Yeah, you and Jay James will actually be covering it live right here on WINA.
And we have a lot of support from the police and the community, the residents and the businesses, because it runs all over, really hits the highlights of our community.
Yeah. Now, for folks who are new to our community, and I'm always aware of them because there are so many of them, they might be out and about on Saturday and see some orange cones. So they need to know that there's going to be a lot of people out on Saturday morning running, thousands, right? And there's going to be a lot of orange cones, some streets blocked off, this kind of thing.
Yes, it's great, Coy, you're mentioning it, because the more folks know about it, more folks have heads up that they're not caught by surprise, and the better it is for our volunteers out there on the course that are, you know, hardworking. But the track club, along with the police, do a really good job of kind of ebbing and flow in the course. It isn't like we shut down the city from 7:45 till 10 o'clock. It's certain sections of certain roads are closed for certain periods of time throughout that 7:45 to kind of 9:45, 9:45, 9:45
okay,
period there. With the brunt of the folks come in 9-minute, 10-minute pace, so they're crossing the finish line back at U-Haul at 9:30, 9:45, 9:45. So the downtown area opens right back up again in a traffic flow, and we started early on for that exact reason, that and trying to avoid the heat.
So when does it start, and where is the starting line?
7:45 in between John Paul Jones Arena and the McHugh Center, and that Massey Hill there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
runs all over town and finishes back there.
Runs through the heart of the university and up Rugby, down Grady, Preston, up the mall. We are going to be on the mall. There was some talk of maybe that not happening because of the bricking, but we've been able to work with the city, the Wiggins have. And then it goes through those beautiful north downtown neighborhoods, Evergreen and Lexington and Maple, and comes back up. Got to have a race, got to have our big race coming up Main Street, and then back up through the corner. The dreaded hill on the corner that folks talk about. It's not much of a hill when you're walking it during the week, but after 8 miles, it feels like quite a hill. And then back through grounds again, through Central Grounds, with the pep band blaring away, and right through the heart of Jefferson's University. It's great, and back to the finish line at University Hall.
We're talking with Mark Lorenzoni of the Ragged Mountain Running Shop at the UVA corner on Elliewood Avenue, Director Emeritus of the Charlottesville Track Club's 10-miler, the Charlottesville 10-miler, which is coming up this Saturday, folks, this Saturday morning, right here in Charlottesville. Now, Mark, take us back to 1976, what you know about it. You were here? Were you here in 1976?
I moved here in 78, so the race
That's
was
right.
just in its infancy.
What's the story of how it started, before you got here?
There was actually a couple that were very similar to Cynthia and I. They were very active in the running community. and Max and Jenny White, and they were long distance racers, and said we got to have a long distance race here in town. And you know, with the upcoming, you know, marathon distance in our country becoming so popular now, people think of that as the long distance. But back in the 70s, 10 miles, and it is still today a long way to go. So they had this 10 miler, but they were kind of trail, you know, adventure type runners. So it ran from University Hall out to Camp Holiday Trails. I mean, anybody's familiar with that road out there, that Reservoir Road, and back again. That was one rough billy goat type course.
Yeah.
So they started with 42 entrants, and 85% of the entrants were male, 15% female. And back in the late 70s, early 80s, the average finishing time was under 7.5 minutes a mile. Now it hovers right around 9.5 minutes a mile. Of course, we're at 50-50 now with the gender. But it ran that way for up until 83, and it was not growing. It was a well-organized event, but it wasn't growing. It topped off at about 350, 400 runners. And the reason being, it was just a really, really excruciatingly challenging course. And there wasn't a lot of community involvement. I was going to say community support. We had plenty of support, but it ran into the woods, basically. And so
people didn't really see it. You didn't know about it. It was something
exactly
that those crazy runners did.
Exactly. And it didn't open its arms to novices, recreational runners, because it was so extremely challenging. So for all the folks who think our current course is hard, you know, I always tease it. We ought to take you on a tour to give you a perspective of the old one, because it had switchbacks. We don't have any switchbacks on this course quite.
And so you came in
83, the Charlottesville Track Club approached Dave Murphy, a very dear friend of mine, and still to this day, and they approached us. We had been putting on a lot of races and said, would you guys like to do this? And I said, I'll do it on one condition, that we shift the course, take it right into the heart of the city, showcase this town. Cynthia had been on the national racing scene at the time as a professional runner, and she would go to all these towns, nowhere near even as nice as Charlottesville, and they had these races that would highlight the community with the streets closed.
It was a community event.
Businesses involved, residents involved, and so they gave us our marching orders to go out and go ahead and see what we could do. We took 4 months to design a course, Dave and I and a bunch of guys. And I say guys because there weren't a lot of women running at the time. And we met with Cole Hendricks. I went in very nervously.
The city manager at the time.
Brought Deke Bone was the chief of police. And you remember, you know, early 80s, this town was not really big on closing streets for people running around in their knickers. You know, I mean, it really was not.
It was a different place.
Different place.
Yeah, well, to give folks some perspective, the early 80s, Fashion Square Mall had just opened. 80, 81. It wasn't that big of a town, and Fashion Square Mall was way out in the country on the edge of town.
Well, we had Miller Lite was one of our sponsors, and we had a beer truck at the end of the race back then. Just, you know, in the University Hall parking lot, can you imagine? I mean, I wrote down some of the sponsors back then: Leggett, Sovereign Bank, remember Centel?
Guaranteed Savings and
Loan. Crestar was a sponsor down the road. So, yeah, you had. It was a big push, and I nervously went down. I never met
about that meeting when you pitched this idea that you wanted to bring all these hundreds of runners on their streets.
I did something very political, very sexist, and very sneaky. I brought Cynthia with me, and Cynthia was the hot shot. She was probably one of the best-known female athletes in Virginia at the time. Now people say to her, you know, have you ever run a marathon? I think, oh my gosh, she gets stopped for autographs in the grocery store, and now she's, you know, 50-year-old, you know.
You run.
Galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was so well known, and I nervously went down, coat and tie, and for me, that's a big deal. And Cynthia and I went in, and he loved the idea, but he said, I'll give you one chance. And he goes, you guys blow it, you'll never have it again. And and blowing it meaning if we didn't keep it organized, if we managed to mess up the traffic control and not have enough volunteers.
And at the same time, they were just in the process of shutting down Easter's. As well.
You got it.
So they were probably gun-shy of some big, huge community event that was going to put people in the streets.
Yeah, but the only event we had at the time, Coy, where they would close the streets down, it was just a little blip of streets, was the parade.
It was unheard of.
And he approved it. It went to Deke Bowen and the city council. Frank Buck was the mayor at the time. He was actually, we had him fire the gun the first year. It was another political move.
Yeah,
he was actually a pretty good friend of the event, as was Deke Bowen, but great story for me anyway, personally, one of these rags to riches tale. Went in to meet the lieutenant who was in charge of traffic at the time, a guy named Otis Hager, and went in there. He had been on the force for years. He was the big guy I had to sit down. I was going to be working with him on the course, so I presented the course, and I sat down, and you know, it got off to a bad start. He called me son right off the bat and said, son, I just want you to know that I'm against this event. The only reason I'm doing it is my chief, Deke Bowen, and the city council and Mr. Hendricks have told me we're doing this. He goes, I'm not on board with this as far as the spiritual end of it. I'll do it because I have to do it. When he retired, about 6-7 years later, he called me on the phone and said it was absolutely one of his favorite events of the entire year,
wow.
Every year.
What won him over, you think?
I really think he loved the – once he got out there, he was the lead vehicle every year. I mean, it's like, you know, riding through an army through a conquered city.
Yeah.
And he's waving to people, and he began to see that people embraced the event and that we weren't trouble. We were off the streets – well, back then we were off the streets by 9:15 because it was a faster population. You know, things have slowed up, more recreational runners now. And he absolutely loved – the whole concept. He just was foreign to him. Like you know, he's as normal as can be. Anything
yeah.
new, we're always a little unnerved by. And he ended up being one of my closest buddies in that type of arena over the years. And every time if I run into him, he always says, I have such fond memories of that event. I think, gosh, you know, it didn't start that way.
We're talking with Mark Lorenzoni of the Ragged Mountain Running Shop on Elliewood Avenue, Director Emeritus of the Charlottesville 10-miler, which kicks off again this year on Saturday at 7:15.
7:45
over near U-Haul, and we'll have the streets full of runners that morning. We always look forward to that big historic event here in Central Virginia. Tell us how it – give us some stories over the years of things that, you know, when you look back, of things that you'll just never forget.
Well, certainly there were benchmarks. You know, the first year will forever be remembered, even though it was the smallest year that I directed, because we spent most of the fall and then winter trying to get the course approved, running through red tape, and then by the time we got it approved, we couldn't promote the event till it was approved, and there was all kinds of rumors that we weren't going to have the race, that you know the demise of it, and so even though it was a small year, I have fond memories of it because we were so nervous about, you know, Cole Hendricks and the whole...
Everybody was watching, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just fantastic. And it really was a special year. But we only had about 350 runners. And when we hit 1,000 in 1989, that was a big benchmark. And, of course, the race has grown ever since. But, you know, working
How many
with
people
lot,
in it this year?
We'll have about 2,800.
So wow, almost 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Is that the biggest race in this area?
The biggest race in the area, of course, the women's 4-miler. That's about 3,100, but it's certainly the oldest and most prestigious, and definitely it's the second largest in town.
Yeah.
This year, all the funds go to Pacham, which we've always tried to make this an event that balances out. We take from the community, so to speak, by asking everyone, please bear with us. We're closing the streets down, and then we try and as a track club. And of course, the Wiggins will be on top of that this year with donating the dollars back to Pacham.
That's fantastic.
So just so I had written down some of the funniest stories. We had snow in 1990, and the pep band built a snowman, Coy, out in the middle of McCormick Road and put a little pep band jacket on, you know, those crazy jackets.
In April.
Little vests.
Welcome
in April.
To Virginia, yeah.
It just came down. Like, it didn't stick on the road, but it was on the grass. And
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That was a neat one. We had a cheater one year. We caught turned around after the 3-mile mark and started walking back and then jumped back in the course. And
wow!
That was an interesting kind of almost embarrassing scenario. Because it embraces so many different people in the community, we've had some great colorful figures. George Rennick, you remember George Rennick, the Buick dealer down on Preston? He was in our hottest year with his hose that he used for washing cars, hosing down the runners at the 4-mile mark. Georgie Rennick, the Buick dealer. That was the hottest year. 1985 was 85 degrees. It was the record for that day in history, and certainly it's the hottest. If
wow.
you can imagine, 7:45 in the morning, 85 degrees. And one of my favorite quotes is a guy named John Shrum, and he... he's a doctor in town, and he came in about a week, 10 days before the race one year, and announced really loudly in the shop. He says, got a big announcement, Mark. You're hearing this for the first time. I'm going under 50 minutes this year. Now, 50 minutes, it's only happened 3 times in the history of the race. That means sub-5-minute miles the entire way.
That's like wicked fast. Yeah.
Oh, wicked fast. It's only 3 times. Richard Ferguson, the only guy to win the race on both the old course and the new course, was the first guy under 50. So here's this guy, he's like a 10-minute, 9-minute, 8-minute per mile guy, and he goes, going under 50 minutes this year, Mark. And I think his comment, his quote afterwards was what sums up the event. He goes, and I'm looking at him, I'm thinking, and all these people in the store snapping around, who is this guy? He's going under 50 minutes. He goes, what I need your help with today, Mark, is to figure out whether it happens at 5 miles or 6 miles. In other words, he's running like 10 minutes a mile. So he's going to go under 50 minutes. It just isn't at the finish line. Everybody out there, you know, is working so hard. We have all these different age groups. One of the really neat stories is...
Yeah, you got kids running, yeah, yeah.
We do have some kids. It's a bit of a long distance, so we discourage that a little bit, the younger kids. But, you know, 12, 13 and up.
Yeah, yeah.
But Nancy Fraser, a few years ago, maybe not a household name, but certainly in the history of the event, is she was in the 70 to 74 age group. She did something no other woman had ever accomplished. She beat all the men in her age group. And that happened a couple of years ago.
Wow.
We had our oldest winner ever in the history of the race a few years ago, Andrea Wright from Ivy. She was 45 years old. She won the race. Cool stuff. So a lot of neat. Who is the oldest finisher? Here's a trivia one. In 1984, Delegate Jim Murray, he was the ancient age in 84. Because this was considered really old back then. Because the average age of the participant was 29 in 1984. He was 63.
Wow.
Jim Murray. And he ran, I looked this up, 84 minutes and 20 seconds. 8.5 minute miles.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
63-year-old House of Delegates member. I mean, he wasn't in the House of Delegates for 63 years. But so
that's pretty good. Yeah.
Neat stuff. Yeah.
So, that's great. So coming up this Saturday, starts at 7:45. Mm-hmm. This coming Saturday, the Charlottesville 10-miler. What's the where does it go from here, you think? What's the is there a long-term vision for this thing?
A lot of neat things have happened. I directed it for, like I said, from 84 to 95. And we like to think we were kind of the dynamite blowing our way through the mountain and getting things paved. And now folks like the Wiggins, they're just continuing to market it at different levels, refine it. We went to chip timing a few years ago, the first race ever. You know, you put these little chips on your shoes.
Ooh, and so cool.
It's all computerized, instant results. You know, with the
and the great thing about it, Mark, is that more and more people want to get involved in this because they see it as, and it's not just for the professional runners. It's for people who enjoy jogging. This is something you can do and really get out and join the community at this thing every year.
We call it the People's Marathon in a sense because it's a long-distance event that is attainable to your average couch potato. The Charlottesville Track Club has this training program, Coy, that we started them at zero in October. They graduated last week with their 10 miles. They're going to run the 10-miler this Saturday. First, you know, they would have never dreamed of that. And so therein lies the difference in the times. So, you know, I told you the average finishing time was 7.5 minute miles back in the early 80s. Now it's 9 to 9.5. Why? We've got folks running 10, 11, and 12. Well, great. Bring it on.
Yeah, yeah.
The accomplishment of finishing the event, this tough course, is really something else.
There you go. Mark Lorenzoni of the Ragged Mountain Running Shop on Elliewood Avenue at the UVA Corner. He'll be calling the Charlottesville 10-miler with Jay James, so you can hear him this coming Saturday morning. Live coverage of the Charlottesville 10-miler right here on WINA. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Coy. Appreciate the time. And the race is still open till midnight.
So folks
on
can
Thursday.
Still get yes. involved.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.